Blog Talk Radio.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. From the heavens, praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him. Oh, praise him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever, and ever have he made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy winds fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, troop of trees and all fields, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Let everything that hath its breath praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. For the name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Glorious and victorious day it is. Another day that the Lord hath made, we, you and I, should rejoice and be glad in it. For it's he that hath made us, not we ourselves. And it's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And you know, you've tuned in to the greatest biblical hour of instruction, insight, and inspiration, Daily Manna, heard over the blogtalkradionetwork.com. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani, speaking to you on this glorious day it is, no matter where you are, in the continental divide, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. On this Sunday, the 10th of January, another year, an exceptional year of our Lord, 2016. You know, this year, and indeed this is a word of knowledge, this year has been a year of great transition thus far. We're into the 10th day of the month. So many transitions. We've heard of so many people departing this terrestrial terrain. We've heard of so many people leaving from the physical realm of existence. But be not dismayed. Ever betide, but God will take care of you. Let me tell you, loved ones that are residual and remaining, God will take care of you. And have the blessed assurance of knowing they are in a far better place than where we are at this time. Why? Because we're here upon this very elementation that we call society on the planet Earth. And the world is so confused, so turned upside down, calling right wrong, wrong right, men lovers of themselves, insolent, not fearful, disrespectful to parents or leadership, unforgiving, refusing to retain the knowledge of God, vicious, violent, indecisive, untrustworthy. We're living amidst all of these particular elements in our society. And it is we that are who are alive and remaining that have to fight the fight of faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. We're here. We've got to continue to battle on. They've gone on to their reward. Now, whether you believe it or not, it does not change the fact that when one has believed, we're not going to be perfect in this physical body. I hope that you understand that. That's no such a thing as a holier-than-thou saint or a more holier believer. No. All of our righteousness, hear me now, is filthy rags. The only righteousness in God that we have is through Jesus Christ. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't eat this, I don't go there. No. All of our righteousness, get it down for the record, is filthy rags. It's none count, null and void. It's nothing but a dust mop in the eyes of God. Our faith in him translate over to righteousness. Because when we walk in faith and speak in faith and live in faith, we are giving praise to him as being God, trusting not in what we see, trusting not in what we hear, trusting not in what we think is right or wrong, but trusting only in him and in his word. And this is because of our willingness to trust him, to have faith in him. We gain access to the throne through our high priest, Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, our Messiah, our bridge to the Heavenly Father who made us in his own image. So this is why it's pertinent to understand that Jesus Christ is our authority to the kingdom of heaven. He is our passageway to the Heavenly Father. And if you try to go any other way other than through the name of Jesus Christ, which is a name above every name, in which every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that he is Lord to the glory of God, you are a thief. That means you're trying to steal something that you don't have the authoritative to attain. You are a robber. That means you're trying to use illegal or illegitimate mind-controlling ways of manipulation. The only access that we have to the Heavenly Father is through Jesus Christ. How do we gain access? Through Jesus Christ, through our faith, to walking in the Spirit, pursuing not the lust of the flesh, calling on his name, praying in the Spirit, trusting God as being Jehovah Rapha, our healer, as being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Nissi, our banner, Jehovah Jireh, our righteousness, Jehovah Yahweh, he's being the way, that he is the great I Am. I Am means that that is all that there is. No questions asked. No controversy. No further explanation needed. And he is the great I Am. And I want you to know, as much as you trust God, as much as you walk in the limelight of faith, things may not turn the way you think that they should turn at that moment. But oh, steady the course, and you will see the manifestation of God's favor in your life and as well as in my life. We grow from grace to grace, from faith to faith. And we grow, it's a progression. It's a perpetual evolution. We get one aspect, and here comes two, then three, and then multiply. This is the reason why we must utilize patience. Let patience have a perfect work, or you will be perfect. You mean completed, flawless, but completed and entirely lacking nothing. That means you won't be in need, necessity. For the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not lack. And we have to lean and depend on these things. You can't do it in the flesh. You fight this fight in the flesh, you're going to get depressed, you're going to get angry, you're going to become vengeful, vindictive, decisive, derisive, bitter, asinine, hateful, mean, envious, jealous, and it will translate over to wrath. And then you've got to take the consequences for the expulsion of wrath. So, but when you walk in the Spirit, what is that? You walk in the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, you receive love, the greatest power on this earth. This is what Satan fears. He fears the love of God. That's right. He tried to blame mankind so that God would destroy mankind because he knows that his eternal state is already sealed. He fears love because love conquers all. That's right. True love puts it in motion and breaks down those barriers. Brings down those high places. It bridges the gaps of difference and partiality between people. And it forms a bond, a covenant with God that is so resilient, not even a gust of air can get in between. So this is why it's so important to know that when you walk in the Spirit, you can exude love. You have peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that rules your mind and your heart. People that be around you with confusion, but the peace of God gives you tranquility because you know that He is the great I Am and that He's breathing upon you, breathing upon us, giving us divine favor, divine intervention, His holy angels watching over us, His guardian angels protecting us, His ministering angels speaking words of knowledge and wisdom to us. That's right. And oh my God, hallelujah to His name. And His avenging angels taking out wrath upon those that wronged us. Oh, what a mighty God we serve today. So we have that knowledge, that forbearance, that He said, vengeance is mine and I will repay. Then we turn around, we walk in forgiveness. And oh, I'm telling you something. One of the greatest hindrances to mankind, and the enemy is fueled by Satan himself, is unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness has caused so many people to lose out on the best that God has for them. It's caused so many people to miss out on miraculous financial intervention. It's caused so many people to miss out on physical healing. It's caused them to miss out on definite opportunities of promotion. It's caused them to miss out on the reuniting within a, you know, an intimate relationship, with reuniting within the family circle. Unforgiveness, holding vindictive vendetta because someone has wronged us, or we else think that they wronged us, or we've got something that's going on within us, an internalized turmoil, and we want to translate it to other people and blame other people and hold a grudge. Grudge has caused many people to miss out on miracles. That's right. And this is where the enemy works. He fuels the engine, appeasing to the carnal appetites of mankind. And unforgiveness, it translates to unforgiveness, knowing full well that if we don't forgive, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. So when we walk in the fruits of the Spirit, we walk in forgiveness. We know that Jesus paid it all. And to all to Him we owe, because sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed us whiter than snow. That's right, it doesn't get any whiter, any brighter than that. It's blinding, it's effervescent, because there is power, wondrous working power, and the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. For He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon His shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. We are healed by the wounds of His side. For out of this side came the redeeming tide, the water that washes us clean, the blood that reunites us back to the covenant that God made with us as His spirit children, translated now to being His physical children, children that He can see, children that He can entrust to carry out His word, His way, and His mission upon the earth. Oh, blessed pilgrims out there and listening land. This is a day of glorious and victorious opportunity to provide emphasis and infrastructure to validate the very presence of God in your life. Take advantage of the opportunity, as I am taking advantage of this opportunity, to catch the glimpse of that Shekinah glory, that special glory that God exudes. I love that word, exudes. That means overshadows, disperses. That's right, glories us with that divine favor to receive that blessing that we've been praying for so long, it's for so hard. It is a favorable place, but you can't get to that place to receive that Shekinah glory until you walk in the Spirit and provide the fruits of the Spirit, the evidences of the Spirit within you, so that God can do the unthinkable, the unexpected, and the miraculous, the unexplainable. And He's waiting to do it. He's waiting to take us into that Beulah land of Shekinah glory, where it's so present and so prevalent at this very time, at this very hour. And amen, I'm here. I don't know about you. If you're not all the way here, you better get here, because this is the hour of your deliverance. Let me tell you something. You've been held up and held out for far too long. This is the exceptional time, the exceptional year of our Lord to receive that which he has spoken in his word. No good thing will I withhold from them that walk in upright. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's right, delight thyself in the Lord. Are you delighting yourself in him? Are you walking in the fruit of the Spirit that he may give you? May means conditional. If you do it, I'll prove it. Do it, and I'll prove it. The desires of our hearts. Some of us are desiring to be in a marital relationship. Have you delighted yourself in the Lord? If you're a woman, have you said, God, bless me to be with a man who loves you, who fears you, who walks in obedience to you, that he may find me exceptional to be a wife? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, not that she that findeth a husband finds a good thing. No, 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 no. We've got to keep it in universal alignment. This is why this world has gone to hell. As we see it as it is, it has taken the universal structure that God intended for this world and has misaligned, miscalculated, and incredited the process. And this is the reason why we've got men that are acting effeminate and dressing as effeminate. This is the reason why we have women who are acting as men, dressing in masculine fashion. This is the reason why we have disobedient children, unfaithful and untrue partners. This is the reason why we have so much corruption on the political level. This is the reason why we have so much infidelity within the structure of our congregations. Because, you know, the congregations, many of them are professing to be married to Christ, but they're going whoring about, laying up with the world, acting like the world, walking like the world, talking like the world, dressing like the world, conducting their affairs like the world. They even acting like the world. They're not being benevolent to their own. They're not blessing those who don't have. They're not speaking words of wisdom to those who are broken-hearted and distraught and displaced. They're seeking their own expensive clothing, expensive vacations, expensive attire, that high lavish lifestyle of the rich and famous, while people in the congregation are suffering, barely making ends greet, not even talking about making ends truly meet, and they're conducting as the world. So we have to understand that there is a responsibility as being believers of God through Jesus Christ. We have to humble ourselves. That's right, and be obedient and walk in the fruits of the Spirit. This is where we have access to everything that holds posture in heaven. Everything that we desire is there. When we walk in obedience, God will allow that Shekinah glory to overcome and overshadow us in every aspect of our life, in our bodies, in our households, in our minds, in our finances, in our associations, our establishments, our accreditations. He will validate his presence. He is the I Am. I Am means that it is completed. There is no competition. There is no explanation needed nor necessary. I am all that there is. That is what he told Moses when Moses held his head down. He said, Lord, how am I going to go to Pharaoh, being that he's a king, he's a monarch, and he's the ruler of Egypt? What shall I say to him? Meek and lowly am I. I'm not educated. I'm not that fabricated. I'm not that generated. I don't have it going on like that. And God told Moses to stop it. Tell him that I am. I am. Say it with me. I am. That's right. The great I Am God has sent. He told him to tell him that. There will be no explanation needed of that. There's nothing else to say. I am completes the statement. That's right. You think about it. If you want to bring it down to a more planetary explanation, think about this. If your child asks you, Mother, are you going to iron my clothes? Are you going to do it, Mother? And you say, yes, I am. That precludes the statement. There's nothing needed to be said after you said, yes, I am. Then your child goes quiet and says, okay, she's already said it. Case closed. Okay, if you're a mate, if you're, you know, a wife, and your husband says, dear, are you going to make breakfast for me? I'm on my way out the door in a few minutes, and you're busy doing something, and you understand the importance of making breakfast for your mate, because if he's not well fed, he cannot perform adequately at his place of employment. And you'll say, yes, I am. He doesn't say, when. No, when you say it as a wife, I am, that completes the statement. That completes the response. There's nothing else to be said. Okay, if you are a man and you're a husband and you turn around and your wife may ask of you, dear, are you going to stop by and get something from the store for me? I don't know what it may be. And because I don't have accessibility to the vehicle because you have to have it. And you as a husband may say, yes, I am. Your wife's going to say, you sure? No, when you say it as a husband, then I am. And you're second in line behind Jesus Christ. Because the man is the head, whether women accept it or not. This is divine order. This is why the society has gone to hell. This is a word of knowledge time. Listen, gravitate, be healed, be blessed, and prosper for what's being said. There's nothing else to be contemplated behind the statement. You say, yes, I am. There's no further explanation needed. So if we say this, yes, I am, that gives from command to saying, it's done. And here we are, temporal beings, finite beings with definite limitations, definite insurmountable characters that change and shift just like the weather. Now, if we say I am and it has credibility, how much more shall when God speaks to us and says, I am, it should make a shake in our boots. That means that if somebody tries to challenge you in your area of expertise, I define you, and God says, I am, they better move out the way, and you better start moving. Because when God says, as he told Moses, tell them that I am have sent you. I am have sent you. That's all there is. Nothing. Nothing can replace that. Nothing can challenge that. Then, you know something? When Moses got down and out again, I'm telling you, leadership is never at all an easy venture. The complaining, the murmuring, the bickering, the bantering, he just gets it. I don't know if I can do this. God, I need your help. He said, I am that I am. Woo! I am. Did you hear that? I am. I mean, I'm here. I control this. No one can challenge this. And because you walk in obedience to me, no one can challenge you. He says, I am. I'm all that there is that I am. It's been completed. So go about your business. Anybody gives me trouble, I will deal with them. I am to deal with them. So you better recognize, I know I've got to recognize the greatness and the power of I am. And also, Joel Osteen, one of my fellow colleagues in the faith, has published a wonderful, wonderful listening audiobook entitled The Power of I Am. And he starts talking about how we view ourselves in a way that's, you know, totally denigrating sometimes because the enemy wants to give us that beat down feeling that we're not capable, we're not responsible, we're not able, we don't have certain attributes that others have. And Brother Osteen begins to talk about the power of I am. He doesn't bring it out the way that I bring it out. We have different missions. We have different ministries. And he was talking about the perception of oneself, to start looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I am beautiful. I am smart. I am exceptional. I am talented. I am blessed. He starts saying self-enhancement, self-enrichment can build up your criteria to such a level, such a degree where you start expecting the best from God because God has infused the best within you. And that's why you've got to listen to The Power of I Am by Joel Osteen. Just a word of encouragement. Be steady in the faith. It may not look as bright and effervescent as you desire it to be. But stand still and know that he is God. And when you accept the knowledge of Jesus Christ as being your Lord, your mediator, your predecessor, God will, Jehovah Jireh will provide and show you that he is the great I am if you let him be. That's right. And walking in obedience, in love, forgiveness, you receive the very blessing of Abraham and experience this season of Shekinah glory. Because we are in the year of Jubilee. 3 weeks ago I told you about the Lord had revealed to me that this was the season of Shekinah glory that was coming upon us. And elementation that he was going to do divine favors for those who had waited so long to receive the deutymus, the dynamic breakthroughs. And I didn't even know that we were up into the season of Jubilee, the time of Jubilee. And Jubilee ties in to the time of Shekinah glory, when God was just doing the most impossible things known to mankind, things that could not even be an explanation. How does money fall out of nowhere and no one could tell where it came from or who it came from? Shekinah glory. How does a person receive total physical healing and restoration and no one can understand how they recover? Through Shekinah glory. How does a person receive deliverance from that habit that seemed to hold them captive? Through Shekinah glory. The pouring down of the latter rain, and the latter rain is always greater than the first. That's right. So we're all tied up into this, and I want you to experience the height, the depth, and the greatness of God as well. Glorious and victorious day. Just let us go to the 11th chapter of the book of Proverbs as we've been teaching the fundamental aspect of self-discipline and responsibility. That's right. God does the miraculous, but God requires on our end for us to show him fervor, for us to show him consideration in the aspect of walking in his obedience and in his diligence. Let us go to the 11th verse. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. What is the writer saying? He's saying that when good people, God-fearing people, Christians, true Christians, who have dedicated their lives to spreading the gospel through good works, through good intentions, through healing the brokenhearted, to praying for deliverance for those who are afflicted, who are following through with the game plan to teach and preach God's word, when they are promoted, people will prosper. People will gain knowledge. People will gain momentum. You'll see the progression of God's kingdom upon the earth. As I'm applying faith, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You will see the evidences of their beliefs. You will see the fruits of their labor intensify and intensify. That's right. You will see a lot of good translate and happen. But when a person who's self-centered, who's hateful, who's vengeful, who's spiteful, gets in a posture and position, those who desire good will receive nothing but gold from them. Because why? They don't have a heart for God. Their only heart that they have is for themselves, serving their own lust and their own greed. And people will suffer for it. 12th verse. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. What is he saying? People that don't want to hear the truth, they're one-sided. Have you ever talked to a person on the telephone or listening audience? I just want you to be real with you. Who has spake to you only at times when they need something, want to know something. And any time that they call, that conversation is always one-sided. They don't hear you. If you get two words in between their 250th word, you've done good. They'll ask you a question, the question you were going to answer, and go on about themselves. People that act in this manner, they're void of purpose. They're void of true, balanced conversation. Their whole concern is themselves. They haven't asked you, is there anything that you need? Is there anything that's going on with you that I need to support you with? It's all about them. They're void of wisdom. They think the world encompasses around what they want, what they desire, and what they do. They're self-centered. and you never ever can have a balanced relationship with a person that's self-centered. First of all, they've got to be able to see themselves. And oftentimes they're the last person that they even give consideration to, that they even look at. This is a person, this person is void. Void means empty, abstinent of wisdom, despising his neighbor. Some people just don't like you just because. You're different. You act different. You seem different. You walk different. You talk different. And they want to stir up strife with you to find out how is it that you do what you do and how that you do. God is not pleased with people like that. And generally, he gives them a space and a place of time. Then he generally allows them to be their own worst enemy, and the very people they influence will turn against them. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Sometimes people say things to you that are just totally out of character. In the flesh, I'm going to tell you something, because you're talking about a quick-tongued person. It will be vigilant to say, and God is definitely giving divine favor to me. He has given me an existential cushion of grace, because there was a time that I would tell them something about themselves that they wouldn't even, come on, not want to hear. They wouldn't even want to ascribe to understand, because it would be so extensive and so to the point of non-return, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. But you know something I've learned in walking in obedience? And it has not been at all an easy walk for me. And let me tell the truth, I'm not a super Christian. I'm not a mega Christian. I'm not a superhuman. I am a student in the classroom of God's higher order thinking and strategic school of knowledge, which means spiritual class. I have learned through so many mistakes that I made stupid mistakes. Stupid. Can't even ascertain how I did it. But through God's grace, he delivered me. He blessed me. He prospered me anyway, despite my ignorance. You might say, despite your ignorance, but you're well-educated. Let me tell you something. The worst ignorant person you can come across is an educated, ignorant person. You're talking about doing some foolish things, so smart you outsmart yourself? Yes, but God delivers us anyway, despite our ignorance. And let me tell you something. I learned through this. When you say less and pray more, God takes up your slack. Now, if I'm going to turn around, someone treated me wrong, did me wrong, they swindled me out of something, they didn't treat me with the dignity I treated them, I'm getting mad, I'm blowing off steam, blood pressure escalating, you know, heart rate racing, you're going into a sweat, your immune system is compromised. That's why you are taking matters into your own hands. I learned, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Let go and let I am take care of it. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. And when you let go and let God, let me tell you something, he pays right in your presence the very people that wronged you. And this is what I've learned to do. If I was a hobby, you couldn't tell me nothing. You know, that Native American blood would boil and my complexion would get deeper and more copper-like, and I would just see stars that would be so taken. Fueled in anger. Why? Because that person wronged me. I didn't do anything to them. Let me tell you something. They didn't live godly in Christ Jesus. Write this down for the note, because I learned this. Shall suffer persecution. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go hungry, that I'm going to be broke, or I'm going to be broken down and afflicted in my body and crawling. But persecution comes in many forms. Sometimes it's the way that people treat you. They feel threatened by your presence, and they'll turn sideways and look at you and discuss you with others. That's persecution. People see you blessed and looking 25 years younger than what you actually are. They know you're old as all outdoors, the oldest Methuselah, quote unquote, me not. And they hear you look less than half your age, and they want to say, oh, she thinks she's something. She must have went and had some type of seizure. Now look how young she looks. That's persecution. When people turn around and say, how can you have when nobody else has nothing? And what are you doing that's getting you money in your pocket pro capita? And talk about you want to put out lies that you're doing something wrong, or you've got something going on the side, using your precious commodity of your temple for unclean reasons to gain monetary access. That's persecution. That's the kind of persecution God is talking about. Not me walking around here with dirty clothes on. I'm crawling on the ground, barely even naked, and, you know, look at that. No. That's a reproach on the kingdom of God. No. The persecution he's talking about is people saying, oh, how did you get this? How can you receive this? How come you're so blessed? That's the persecution because he owns everything. The earth is the Lord's. The society may have gone to Hades, but the earth itself, that stuff that you pick up and you feel within your fingers to grasp that dirt, that clay, it's the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all them and they that dwell therein. That's right. So we know that God takes up the slack of those of us who walk in his elementational truth. Now, a talebearer, 13 verse, reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit considers the matter. You ever met some people? Every time they're coming to you with mess. I don't know whether it's your place of employment, on the block you live in, your social circle, your family, a friend. They're always coming to you telling you about what somebody did, what somebody said, how somebody acted, what somebody said about you. There is a saying that those of age, age-old political races say that, you know what? A dog that brings a bone carries a bone. Sometimes those people want to feed into you to see what you're going to say so that to see what you are going to say so they can go back to that immediate circle and then keep trouble going. A false answer, this is also from Proverbs, turns away much wrath. Sometimes when people come in with that, they say, isn't that a shame? Well, you know, people need to find something better to do with their time than talk about each other. Well, you know what? I've got something to do. Always stay busy when you're in the presence of a talebearer. Don't sit down and reveal anything about how you feel about the person you're talking about, what you got to say, your take, because they will take your words, those five words that you speak, and will multiply them to 500. And take you not only around the block, they will take you full circle around the country. So when a talebearer, that's just not only just a person who's a liar, that's an instigator, a person who looks for something to get started because they're not happy with their lives. Their lives are ho-hum and down the pike, and they're not achieving or gaining anything, so they want to do all that they can to bring other people into full circle, into the complexity of other people's matters. Turn away from them. Give them a nice hand. You have to come and say, get out my face. I want to talk to you. You know, you're always trying to start some mess. You don't have to say that. A false answer. That doesn't just mean a false voice, the inside voice that I tell my students. It means a nice way of putting it. It can turn away wrath. You can call the person to look inside themselves and say, you know something, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, that's a shame. We need to find better things to do with our time. You know, life is so valuable. We need to go out and try to see what we can do to make, you know, society better. You know, take a hobby. Let's do something to help in the community. You know, maybe we should do more things like that. And then when you do that, you give them that two-sided mirror where they start looking at themselves and maybe I need to shut up and stop talking so much. And they might just walk away and say, who should they shoot up? Either way, they have no weapon to use against you in spreading our gossip, lies, and malarkey. Because a faithful spirit is still the matter. And just what I said, you always have a response that's positive, but direct to let them know, I'm not interested in anything that's not clean. Because whatever you put out in the way of karma will be multiplied back to you in your life. The 14th verse says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's, I love this. That means where there are no guidelines, where there are no, you know, actual limitations, people will push past the limits and will do things unseemly. They will act out of character because they know that there's no consequences for an addict. But see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you fear God and not man, you will automatically know, I'm not going to get mad because this person said something about me and go punch him in the mouth. You know, I'm not going to get angry with this person because they didn't give me the respect I gave them to try to publicly humiliate them. I know that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and he will repay. So I can just walk away and say, you know what, God got this. All I need to do is sit down, wait, and receive the blessing of his works and the confirmation of his purpose in my life. And this is what we do. because we understand that we have accountability and we have a responsibility to him. And among the counselors, I mean, people who are wise, who think before they act as well as we act, we act in safety because they're always going to have a fallible thing to say. A person that fears God and they're a Christian. You know, some people are Christians, they don't fear God. Let me tell you what the difference is. Some people that are Christians feel like they're holier than thou. They hold a place in an area of placement that others don't have, and God looks at me as being a miniature God, and I can make this happen, okay? But see, those of us who are, you know, equipped to know that we're limited, we're incapable of doing the impossible. All that we receive is because of his mercy, his grace, and his goodness. We'll look down and say, you know what? God, help me, because I can't help myself. And we admit our frailty, and we understand these things, and we walk in obedience, and we ask him for his guidance, and God will send us a quiet witness. Let me tell you something. This time has really went by very rapidly. And I tell you at the same time, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. But go get sad, get glad. We're coming back again this week to complete our lesson in the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter, the book that Kirk tells us about wisdom and responsibility, our roles, and our rights in the kingdom of God. And have a blessed, glorious, and victorious week in all things. Give thanks. So this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You just tuned in to Daily Manna. Have a wonderful, joyous, and victorious week. Be prayerful and receive the very blessings of God in your life. And don't be afraid to send those testimonies in, because Peter overcame the devil by the words of his testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And we praise God. We know that we're going to receive miracles right here and right now. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen, man. See you real soon. Oh, yeah.